It's all right. Isaiah 53. Oh, it's not. No, we're not going to go back. I'm not going to start over. All right. For those of you listening to the tape, we're in Acts chapter 8. But we went from Acts chapter 8 where we saw the story about the Ethiopian eunuch and Philip. And we're going to go back to Isaiah 53. All right. Here we go. Isaiah 53, verse 1 through 3. Who would believe our message? And to whom has the arm of the Lord been revealed? He grew up for him like a tender shoot and like a root out of dry ground. He had no beauty or majesty to attract us to him, nothing in his appearance that we should desire him. He was despised and rejected by mankind, a man of suffering, familiar with pain. Who would ever have believed this story? Who would ever have believed this story? This guy, born to a teenage girl in a feeding trough of questionable parentage, if you will, he became the arm of the Lord. He became the arm of the Lord. The arm represents the agency or power by which he works. Isaiah 40, verse 10. The sovereign Lord comes with power, and he rules with a mighty arm. See, his reward is with him, and his recompense accompanies him. So what's this powerful arm of the Lord like? Like a tender shoot. Like a child. Started out as a baby. Wore diapers. You know. Not a very auspicious beginning. And he wasn't particularly good looking. I guess he wasn't an ugly dude, but he wasn't particularly good looking. You know, he wasn't all that strong. He probably wasn't all that tall. Just kind of an average looking guy. Kind of from a, maybe a lower middle class family. A tender shoot. Helpless. In a feeding trough. No one would have thought this little baby, born in the tiny town of Bethlehem, raised in the insignificant hamlet of Nazareth, would grow up to be much of anything. And besides, he was despised and rejected. People thought, who is this guy? In fact, who would have believed it? Who would have believed our message? Verse 4 through 6. Surely he took up our pain. He bore our suffering, yet we considered him punished by God, stricken by him and afflicted. But he was pierced for our transgressions. He was crushed for our iniquities. The punishment that brought us peace was on him, and by his wounds we are healed. We all like sheep have gone astray. Each of us has turned our own way, and the Lord has laid on him the iniquity of all. And I'm sure that Philip, I wouldn't be surprised if Philip went back to Isaiah 53:1 as he's preaching. All right. How did this work? What's the deal? He took up our pain and he bore our suffering. Does that make any sense? I think about in Hebrews 2:14 through 18. Hebrews 2:14 through 18. Where it says, I'm in 2 Timothy 2. I want to be in Hebrews 2. All right, good. Hebrews 2, talking about how he became a great high priest. Here we go. Since the children have flesh and blood, so he too shared in their humanity, so that by his death he might break the power of him who holds the power over death. That is the devil. And free those who all their lives were held in slavery by their fear of death. For surely it is not angels he helps, but Abraham's descendants. For this reason he had to be made like us, fully human in every way, in order that he might become a merciful and faithful high priest in service to God, that he might make atonement for the sins of the people. Because he himself suffered when he was tempted, he's able to help those who are being tempted. Jesus is the great high priest. And the priest is the mediator between the human and God. And before Jesus came in a body, he had the God language, he had that pretty much down, you know. But he needed to come here, he needed to experience everything that we experience. He got sick, he had the flu, whatever, all those things. So he took up our infirmities, you know, but we got it all wrong. We didn't see it that way. We saw him stricken, you know, not esteemed, despised, and rejected. And we said, who is that guy? Who is this guy? We saw it as a sign of weakness. We wanted a superstar. We wanted a guy who scored 30 points a night. We wanted a guy who's getting an A in their physics classes. We wanted a good-looking guy. We thought, how foolish to submit to humiliation and suffering and poverty. Who would have believed our message? Who would have believed that this man would be the arm of the Lord? But that's what Philip explained to the Ethiopian eunuch. The cause of all this, verse 5, is our transgressions. The cause of all this is our iniquities. And by the way, an iniquity is just a fancy way for sins. Because in Hebrew, it's like the Eskimos, they have a word, they have like 14 different words for snow, because they're into snow. Well, the Jews have 3 different words for sin. So when they have different words for sin in the same Hebrew text, they don't say sin, sin, sin. They say iniquities, and they say transgressions. The bottom line is, he was pierced for our transgression. That's who this Jesus is. And that's who the Ethiopian eunuch was learning about on the road, in the desert road, going back to Ethiopia. The cause of his being punished instead of us, the effect was peace. Punishment on him, peace for us. Wounds to him, healing for us. We were the ones who deserved the wounds. We're the ones who deserved the punishment, but he took it for us. You know what? We left God, right? We all like sheep have gone astray. We went off and, you know, but like it says in Romans 5, all right, for a friend, you might possibly dare to die, but God showed his love for us in this. While we were still sinners, Christ died for us. How about you? But I was definitely the Ethiopian eunuch at some point. I turned aside. I did what I wanted to do. I, you know, lived my life for myself. I left God, but he didn't leave me. You know, I was the prodigal son. I don't know about you, but I was the prodigal son. I was wasting all these gifts he gave me in a prodigal life. All right. And yet Jesus took all of my sins on himself. The Lord laid on him the sin of all of us. Chapter 53, verse 1. Would anybody believe this? Would anybody believe that this would have happened? I don't know. How can his suffering, pain, piercing wounds bring us peace and healing? 1 Peter 2, 23 through 25. 1 Peter 2. 23 through 25 says, when they hurled insults at him, he did not retaliate. When he suffered, he made no threats. Instead, he entrusted himself to him who judges justly. He himself bore our sins in his body on the cross so that we might die to sins and live for righteousness. By his wounds, we've been healed. And that's what the Ethiopian eunuch was told by Philip. How could it be? Who would have believed this story? Nobody would have made it up. There are many human-made religions. There's lots of them. In every human-made religion, humans fix their problems. Humans try really hard to be as good as possible. and somehow they earned their way to God. But in Christianity, it's the other way around. God came down. He became like us so we could become like him. Isaiah 53, 7 through 9. Ah, I forgot to advance the slide. Where did Philip begin? He began with right where Peter began in Acts 2:23, with the cross. The chariot ride always takes you to the cross. Oh, I should have used my awesome slides here. Who would have believed our message? A tender shoot. A child. A baby. In a feeding trough. Who would have believed our message? Does it make sense that he bore our suffering? Is that logical? I once had a guy tell me, this is a friend of mine, this is a Christian friend, he said, you know, the Christian story, it really kind of makes sense, you know, because, you know, we sin, we're separated from God because of that, so therefore God punished Jesus so that we wouldn't have to receive the punishment. That's very logical. I said to him, that's not logical at all. That doesn't make any sense at all. Certainly our court systems don't allow for that. Okay? Who would have believed this message? But the Lord laid on him the iniquity of us all. He was oppressed and afflicted, right? But he did not open his mouth. He was led like a lamb to the slaughter, and as a sheep before shears is silent, so he did not open his mouth. By oppression and judgment he was taken away, yet who of his generation protested? Nobody said, hey, stop, don't crucify him. He's the Son of God. Who spoke up for Jesus? For he was cut off from the land of the living. For the transgression on my people he was punished. He was assigned a grave with the wicked, and with the rich in his death, though he had done no violence, nor was any deceit in his mouth. You know, he was led like a lamb to the slaughter. You know, Jesus, he's kind of like a lamb, but he's kind of not like a lamb. He's like a sheep, but he's not like a sheep. All right? The sheep is led to their slaughter, and the sheep's like, dun, 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 dun. Boom. All right? The reason the sheep doesn't object is because they don't know what's about to happen. Jesus knew exactly what was about to happen. So he's like a sheep in one sense, which he was willingly led to the slaughter. But in another sense, he wasn't like a sheep at all. He knew exactly what was going to happen. Right? God put our sins on him. Who would have believed our message? It says, he was assigned a grave with the wicked and with the rich in his death. And actually, that's true. His name was Joseph of Arimathea. And in the Hebrew, it says he was assigned a grave with the wicked, plural, and with the rich, singular, in his death. All right? The singular being Joseph of Arimathea. All right? Very interesting. And, you know, he's crucified with the criminals, right? Like, you know, with the sinners, and then the wicked, and then with the rich in his death. Let's read verse 10 through 12. This is amazing. Look at this. Yet it was the Lord's will to crush him and to cause him to suffer. And though the Lord makes his life an offering for sin, he will see his offspring and prolong his days, and the will of the Lord will prosper in his hand. After he has suffered, he will see the light of life and be satisfied. By his knowledge, my righteous servant will justify many, for he will bear their iniquities. Therefore, I will give him a portion among the great. He will divide the spoils with the strong, because he poured out his life unto death. He was numbered with the transgressors, for he bore the sin of many, and he made intercession for the transgressors. This is a pretty amazing passage. Who would have believed this? It says, it pleased the Lord to crush him. Right? God was pleased to see his own son crushed, killed, tortured, embarrassed. That made God happy. Well, not happy like, oh, this is so much fun. But it made God feel proud of his son because of what it produced. It was worth it. Do you think it was easy for the father to watch his son being crucified? Isn't that why darkness came over the land? God's like, I can't watch this anymore. If you want to understand that, look at Abraham, who took his son to Mount Moriah, because God said, take your son, your only son, and sacrifice him on Mount Moriah. Do you know where Mount Moriah is? That's Jerusalem. The same mountain that God offered his one and only son is the mountain that Abraham offered his one and only son. And how do you think Abraham felt when God told him, you need to kill your son, your only son, the one that I gave you? And yet, it says, amazingly here, that it was the Lord's will. Or in the King James, it says, it pleased the Lord to crush him. All right, aren't you glad that the story doesn't end with verse 10? That'd be kind of a sad ending, wouldn't it? But it doesn't end there, because it says in verse 11, after he has suffered, he will see the light of life, and he will be satisfied. You know, God raised Jesus from the dead. That's pretty cool. And that's part of what, you know, I think Philip told the Ethiopian eunuch, right? I know he didn't read to him Romans 6, 1 through 4, because Romans 6, 1 through 4 hadn't even been written yet. But there, Jesus says, in baptism, we're united with him in his death, but we're also united with him in his resurrection. So, I'm sure Philip, you know, we don't know all the stuff Philip told him. All I know is, they're going down the road, eunuch sees some water, he says, hey, stop the chariot. I see some water over there. Because I want to participate in the suffering and the death of Christ, but also in the resurrection of Christ. Because beginning in Acts 8:35, it says Philip explained the entire gospel. What's the entire gospel? Well, it's summed up there, but it's also summed up in 1 Corinthians 15, 1 through 7. A good thing to do as you're reading the Bible is ask, where do you find the gospel? The gospel is only described succinctly and thoroughly a few places in the Bible. Okay? But one of them is 1 Corinthians 15, verse 1 through 7. Now, brothers and sisters, I want to remind you of the gospel I preached to you. So here you go. This is the gospel Paul preached, which you received and on which you have taken your stand. By this gospel you're saved, if you hold firmly to the word I preached to you, otherwise you have believed in vain. For what I received, I passed on to you as of first importance, that Christ died for our sins according to the scriptures, that he was buried, and he was raised on the third day according to the scriptures. If you don't believe that, read Genesis 22, where it says, Abraham received his son back from the dead on the third day. Hebrews 11, 18 to confirm that application. All right? And that he appeared to Cephas and then to the 12. After that, he appeared to more than 500 of the brothers and sisters. At the same time, most of whom are still living, though some have fallen asleep. Then he appeared to James, then to all the apostles, and last of all, he appeared to me as to one abnormally born. The gospel is this. Christ died for our sins. But God raised them from the dead. God raised them from the dead. Philippians 2, 5 through 11. We just read 2 weeks ago another account of the gospel, which is 2 Corinthians 5:21, right? God made him who knew no sin to become sin for us on the cross so that we might become the righteousness of God. But here's another sort of account of what happened to Jesus. Another account of what Philip recited to the Ethiopian eunuch. Philippians 2, starting in verse 5. It says, in your relationship with one another, have the same mindset as Jesus Christ, who being in the very nature God, did not consider equality God with God something to be held on to. Instead, he made himself nothing. In other words, like us. He made himself like a human being. Taking the very nature of a servant, being made in human likeness, being found in appearance as a man, he humbled himself by becoming obedient to death, even death on a cross. That's the gospel message. Therefore, God exalted him to the highest place and gave him the name that is above every name, that the name of Jesus every knee should bow in heaven and on earth and even under the earth, and every tongue acknowledge that Jesus Christ is Lord to the glory of the Father. And God will exalt us as well. Amen. Let's finish out our chariot ride by going to Acts chapter 2. So what was the message that Philip gave the Ethiopian eunuch? Thank you. Yeah, thank you. He gave him a portion among the great. Why? Because he poured out his life. Jesus poured out his life. And God says, now that's great. That is great.
Oh, wow.
Is that Kevin? Is that Kevin's baptism? Where's Kevin tonight? He's usually here. Alright, Acts 2. I mean, the gospel story is told a few times. It's told in Acts 2, right? In Acts 2, Peter gets up and he says, this guy Jesus fulfilled the prophecies, did signs, wonders, and miracles, as you yourselves know. And nobody said, really? Jesus did miracles? Never heard about that. Oh yeah, everybody knew about that. And he says, and you, with the help of wicked men, put him to death on the cross. Right? And he says, but God raised him from the dead. And he quotes from Psalms. He quotes from other prophecies that said the Messiah would be raised from the dead. And then he gets to the summary of his sermon, verse 36. He says, let all the men in this room know this. God has made this Jesus whom you crucified. Juan, sorry about that. You crucified him. You crucified him. Zane, you killed him. He wanted to die for you and you said, no, I'm going to kill him. Jonah, you're responsible for his death. You killed him. You weren't there in the crowd. He said, with the help of wicked men, right? You had some people do it for you. They did the dirty work for you. It says, God made this Jesus whom you crucified, both Lord and Messiah. Which is a more popular description? Savior or Lord?
Savior.
Very popular. Lord, not so popular. Not so popular. When the people heard this, they were cut to the heart, and they said to Peter and the other apostles, what should we do? And it's not too hard. Is there, repent and be baptized, right? Do two things. Repent and be baptized, right? And then he says, in the name of Jesus Christ for the forgiveness of your sins. And by the way, if you want to use Matthew 20, 18 through 20, in the name of the Father, Son, Holy Spirit, we're not going to argue about that. That's the biggest waste of time argument in the history of Christianity. Yeah. All right. So we're not going to worry about that one. You know, anybody can baptize you. They can say in the name of Jesus and the Holy Spirit or the Father and the Holy Spirit, you know, hey, amen. Probably put Jesus in there. Pretty sure I ought to put Jesus in there. Mm-hmm. All right, amen. And you'll receive the gift. Oh yeah. Oh, I forgot. For the forgiveness of your sins. And you'll receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. This promise is for you and your children, for all who are far off, for all whom the Lord our God will call. So if you've done this, then tonight you're Philip. Because you have the Holy Spirit, and he's telling you to go out and stop that guy in his chariot. And, you know, interrupt him and say, hey, dude, we need to have a little chat here. What you might find out is that the dude was reading the Bible just last night and was reading in, I don't know, Acts chapter 2 or who knows. So then what you're going to do is you're going to begin with that very scripture and you're going to tell him the gospel. Right? Yeah. All right, I've got some other scriptures here, but that's enough. So we're gonna, alright, so what will be your response? Well, the Ethiopian eunuch said, I guess I'm gonna repent and get baptized. Mm-hmm. Alright, they went down to the water, came up, and he was fired up. And by the way, he went back and he started the church in?
Yeah.
Yeah. Axum. As far as we know. So he didn't exactly have a whole lot of people with him, he just went there and planted the church and it went big time for there. That's pretty good story. All right, so I do not have discussion questions tonight.
I'm sure he had a lot of influence since he was a royal official too, which helped.
True. Yeah. Oh no, I had slides. Oh no, I had a slide with my questions, but I didn't have real questions.
That's okay.
So the question is, I don't know, which are you? Are you the eunuch or are you Philip? And what are you going to do about this lesson? So, we're going to end. Wow. Okay. I had a slide, but I lost it. So, let's have a prayer. Okay? And let's get fired up about what Jesus is doing. Thank you, God, for this time to get up on the chariot. I've never actually been on a chariot. I've been in a nice car, but never been in a chariot. I'm thankful that Philip listened to the Holy Spirit. Because if he hadn't, then maybe the gospel wouldn't have gotten to Ethiopia. Or it would have gotten there eventually, but, and then really, like the whole country practically got converted. Father, I pray that anybody in here that is the Ethiopian eunuch, which means somebody who's hearing the gospel and is in the position of responding to the gospel, I pray that we'd be as fired up as the Ethiopian eunuch was, who said, hey, here's some water. Let's flat out go down there and get baptized. Father, I pray that we would repent and that we would not make it so complicated. There's all kinds of other formulas out there, but I think I'll go with the Bible formula.
Amen.
Which is make Jesus Lord, repent, get baptized, and go on our way rejoicing. And God, probably over half of us, I think, are more like Philip than the eunuch. Amen. I pray out here on campus or for some of us on the job, we'd be looking for the eunuch.
Yeah.
I don't think the guy's going to be an actual eunuch. He might be, but probably not. But God, I pray that you would help us to listen to the Holy Spirit when he tells us, go share with that guy. And I pray that when we do that, we would share the gospel. God, I'm thankful that Jesus, he was like a tender shoot. He was not particularly handsome or ugly or strong or weak. He was just a regular guy. He became just like us so we could become like you. I'm thankful, God, that he's willing to be despised and rejected, a man of suffering, familiar with sorrow. I'm thankful, God, that you allowed him and he allowed himself to be pierced for our transgressions, that he was like a sheep before his shears. He didn't defend himself. He didn't open his mouth. Jesus, we are thankful that you were like a sheep, but not like a sheep. like a sheep in that you were willing to be led to the slaughter, but not like a sheep because you knew exactly what was coming. And Father, I'm thankful for the example of the eunuch who didn't have a debate, didn't get into a big, long theological thing. He just said, oh, here's some water. Why shouldn't I be baptized? And God, I'm thankful for his repentance. We don't know the details of how that worked, but one thing I know is he went on his way rejoicing. And we're told there in Acts 3 that when we repent, it leads to times of refreshing. Thank you, God, for this time. And I think I'm praying a little bit too long. So I pray that these guys would have a nice little discussion based on what we learned tonight, even though we don't have any directed questions. In Jesus' name we pray, amen.
Amen.
All right. Michael, you're dismissed.
Thank you.
And Juan, too, right? Juan?
Absolutely.
You get up as early as Michael, right?
Yes.
All right, see ya.
You have a good for Saturday?
Yeah, probably.
Okay. Awesome.
We'll set a time.
Okay. Awesome. I'll be sure to send a reminder.
Yeah, good.
Okay. You have a good rest of your day, John?
Yep. Tomorrow, yeah, what time? Which is?
Five.
Yeah. Yeah, that'll work.
That works?
Yeah.
Will it be just us again?
Who wants to come to my house tomorrow at 5 to have a study with Garrick?
I'll be already.
What time?
5 o'clock.
Tomorrow?
Yeah, tomorrow. All right. You and I are going to get together when? Monday?
Next Monday.
Okay. Yeah. Or sooner if you want.
I'll do it Monday.
All right, Monday. 5 o'clock. Zane will be there. Oh, let's just hang out for a while here. Let's talk. Oh, wait, Mike has to go.
Yeah.
Mike, can we find some time to chat either tomorrow or maybe Friday?
Yeah, tomorrow's fine. After your Bible study.
Probably Friday would be better. All right. Everybody's leaving. Okay. I didn't have discussion. Next time I'm going to have discussion questions. See you guys.
Take care.
See you Friday night. It's a virus.
Yeah.
It's, what's that? It's the herpes. Herpes. So you get cold sores from kissing, actually. Did you kiss anybody?
Yes, my mom.
You kissed your mom?
Mommy.
Yeah, cold sores happen when your immune system is down a little bit.
Eating or drinking after people.
It's hard not to get herpes, I guess. Is it in fact a cold sore?
I think so. It looks like it.
He just assumed that. I don't know.
I was like, you've got a cold sore. It looks like.
This always comes up a lot, and then I have to take like this medicine, or not medicine, this vitamin, and then it goes away. I have a lack of a certain vitamin, and then it goes away.
Okay, all right, good.
Vitamin deficiency.
Great.
It's like a fish. It's like a fish. Like,
fish oil?
Fish oil.
Fish oil.
Omega 3?
Manny, I've been trying to get with you for a while. It just hasn't worked out.
I texted you last week.
Well, whatever. I'm not going to worry about what happened in the past. We just need to get some time together.
Okay.
Like when?
We're leaving tomorrow morning, actually.
All right. When are you getting back?
We'll be back here by Sunday morning.
Sunday morning. So...